Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Angsuman, Text Number 6. Shri Bhagiratu Vacha Sarva Nyasina Shanta Brahmishta Loka Pavana Arantyagam Tenga Sangat Tesh Vaste Yaga Bid Dari. Shri Bhagarata Vacha. Bhagarata said, who's doing the translation today? Oh, you are. Sarva, saintly persons, Nyasina, sannyasis, Shanta, peaceful, free from material disturbances, Brahmanishta, expert in following the regular principles of Vedic scripture. Loka Pavana, who are engaged in delivering the entire world from a fallen condition. Haranti shall remove Agam, the reactions of sinful life. Te, of you, Mother Ganges, Anga Sangat, by bathing in the Ganges water. Teshu, within themselves. Aste, there is. He, indeed. Agabit, the Supreme Personality, who can vanquish all sinful activities. Hari, the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Bhagarata said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regular principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior, and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Purport. Mother Ganges is available to everyone for bathing. Therefore, not only will sinful persons bathe in the Ganges water, but in Hardwar and other holy places where the Ganges flows, saintly persons and devotees will also bathe in the waters of the Ganges. Devotees and saintly persons advanced in the renounced order of life can deliver even the Ganges. Tirti Kuravanti Tirtani Swantak Stenak Katabrita, Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Because saintly devotees always keep the Lord within the core of their hearts, they can perfectly cleanse the holy places of all sinful reactions. Therefore, people in general must always respectfully honor saintly persons. It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnav or even a sannyasi, one should immediately offer respects to such a holy man. One forgets to show respect in this way, he must observe a fast for that day. This is a Vedic conjunction. One must be extremely careful to refrain from committing offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee or a saintly person. There are methods of prayaschitta or atonement, but they are inadequate to cleanse one of sinful reactions. One can be cleansed of sinful reactions only by devotional service, as stated in regard to the history of Ajamyo. Kechid Kevala Bhakta Vasudeva Parayana Agam Duvanti Kartsneena Niharam Iva Bhaskara. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. The Bhagavatam 6.1.15. If one is under the protection of a devotee and sincerely renders service unto him, by this process of bhakti yoga, one is certainly able to counteract all sinful reactions. Sri Bhagavata Uvacha Sarva Nyasina Shanta Brahmanishta Lokapavana Arantyagam Tenga Sangat Teshvaste Yagam Vidhari. Bhagavata said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, freed from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regular principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior, and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Wherever Krishna is, then Vrindavan is there. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to go to Vrindavan, on the way, Lord Nityananda took him to Mayapur. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Mayapur, Advaita Acharya came to offer him some new underwear on a boat, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing. So Lord Chaitanya was very surprised to see Advaita Acharya, that you've also come to Vrindavan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked some cowherd boys, where is the Jamuna? Because he thought he was in the Vrindavan. And the cowherd boy said, it's over there. So he went over there, and then he saw Advaita Acharya and said, oh, you've also come to Vrindavan. Advaita Acharya lived in Mayapur, West Bengal, not exactly next door. And then Advaita Acharya said, my dear Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Lord Nityananda had tricked him and brought him back to Mayapur instead of taking him to Vrindavan. But actually the cowherd boys didn't lie to him, because the river Ganges and Jamuna flow at a certain part together in Mayapur, because the Jamuna and the Ganges are more or less the same river, just flowing in different directions, different places. And therefore the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had bathed was actually the Jamuna, but it wasn't Vrindavan. Well, of course, wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is Vrindavan. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhaye Krishna Nahi Anya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Now, wherever Krishna is, the spiritual world is also there, because Krishna is never alone. And therefore, wherever Krishna is, the gopis are there, the cowherd boys are there, Mother Jasoda is there, the Jamuna is there, Govardhan Hill is there, the Saurabhi cows are there, everything's there, if Krishna is there. And wherever the spiritual world is, everything becomes purified. Just like it says, Gyanena tutad agyanam, yesham nashitam atmanaha, tesham adityavad gyanam prakashiti tatparam. One, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So in Krishna's presence, everything becomes ecstatic, because Krishna is the complete form of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. He is a complete form of pleasure, Ananda. Love, bliss, affection. Krishna is the personification of that. So wherever he is, everything becomes joyful. If one is not determined not to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna says, "Daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya duratya, mame vaye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite." That this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes, is difficult to overcome, but those who take shelter in me can easily cross beyond it. So if one is determined to be an illusion, then Krishna allows his illusory energy to keep us in illusion. And if one wants to become conscious of Krishna, then Krishna, tesham eva nukam paratam, aham agyana jam tamaha, na shamyam yatma bhavishto, jnana dipena bhashvita. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Then Krishna can purify our heart by entering into our consciousness. Because maya, preliminary sits or illusion, or sinful reactions primarily sit in our intelligence, in our consciousness. And therefore, we can't see, because our minds are covered by desire, material desires, and our intelligence is covered by material conceptions. And therefore, we don't see things properly, nor do we know what to do and what not to do clearly. And therefore, whatever we do in the material consciousness generally doesn't help us become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Maharaj Rishabhdev tells his sons that, is that Maharaj Rishabhdev? No, it's Prahlad Maharaj. Nunam pramatta kurute, no, it's Maharaj Rishabhdev. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma ye indriya priti aprinoti nisadu manye yata atmano yam asan napi kleshida ashadeha. Nunam, indeed, Maharaj Rishabhdev was surprised. For a person in Krishna consciousness, seeing people suffering in the material world, one is surprised, why are people wasting their time like this? Nunam pramatta. Because they're crazy. Because they're mad. And why are they mad? Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. They're mad because they're doing things that make them miserable. They want to be happy, but they're doing the very things that cause them the misery. Vikarma. It indriya pritya prinoti. That means that they don't know that they're spiritual beings, that they by nature can have unlimited enjoyment with their spiritual senses, that everything becomes enjoyable when one is actually in consciousness of Krishna. But instead they're following the insignificant demands, tuchavat, of their senses. Nisadu manye yata atmano yam. I don't think a sane person who knows that they're a spiritual being will actually follow these things, will actually simply become an easy victim to his senses. Whatever my tongue tells me, whatever my etc. tells me, I must do, because that's my constitutional position, is to serve the dictation of my senses. Asanavi kleshada ashadeha. What's the problem with serving the senses? Is that they produce miseries. Of course we tolerate them. We're so used to being miserable, we think it's completely normal. If you try to take a worm out of the stool, they'll protest. Why are you disturbing me? I have free food here. My whole family lives here. There's no rent I have to pay. Why are you disturbing me? So one who's in the material world, accustomed to material misery, they think, oh, this is normal. This is the way it should be. And it's, alright, we want to live here in misery, but we can't do it, because the sun, the pi, kleshida, ashadeha, is miserable, but it's also temporary. So our nice home, our nice family, our nice relatives, we have to leave it. And we don't know where we're going. If someone in black dress with black hood came in here and grabbed us, started to drag us out, what would we ask? What would we think? What's the weather outside? Wait a second. I need my umbrella. No, I think, where are you taking me? Where are we going? Here we're about to leave our bodies, and we're not concerned. I don't care where I go, as long as it's warm. No, an intelligent person, we're about to leave our body. We're being dragged by the material energy. One should inquire, where am I going? What am I going to do there? Is there prasadam? As Robert points out, one man was told by the priest that since you're drinking alcohol, you're going to go to hell. So the man says, but my father drinks alcohol. Well, he's going to go to hell too, the priest said. But my mother drinks alcohol. Well, she's also going to go to hell. But all my brothers and sisters, they all drink alcohol. Well, they're all going to hell. But all my friends drink alcohol. So they're going to hell too. So the man's conclusion is, well, if my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, all my relatives and friends are in hell, then hell is heaven. So we don't care where we're going as long as it's warm and comfortable. Or as people that was entering into hell, all the flames are there and people are burning, and one person turns to another and says, the secret is to keep hydrated. You know, hydrated. Drink enough water in hell, and you'll be all right. A little warm, but water keeps you cool. So, why is it that we foolishly follow the senses, although we know we shouldn't? Because paravastavarabodha jata yavana jagnasita atmatatvam yavana kriyastavi dhammanovai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. Because we're being defeated by the illusory energy. We think, oh, it's just normal, following my senses, my mind, whatever the dictation. But we're actually being defeated by ignorance. It's a war against maya, and we're just easy victims. Paravas tavat bodha jata yavana jagnasita. As long as we're not inquisitive about atmatatvam, about our real self, who we actually are, we're being defeated by illusion. And how do we get defeated by illusion? Paravas tavat bodha jata yavana jagnasita atmatatvam yavana kriyas tavat idam manovai, because our minds are colored. They're cloudy. We don't see things clearly because of our material desires cloud our minds. The soul also has a mind, but now it sees through the material mind. Just like if you put on glasses that are yellow, everything appears to be yellow. But it's not yellow. The glasses are yellow. Similarly, when our mind is cloudy, we don't see things clearly. Our consciousness becomes cloudy too. Paravasada abodha jata yavana jignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavit idamano vai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. And because of this cloudy mind, at the time of leaving this body, then our desires take us to another body. So is there any hope? Is it all finished? Matirna Krishne parataksatova mito bipadye de grihavra. Oh no. What is the next? That that one has to, one has to take shelter of a devotee. Anartha pasamam sakshat. That, oh, actually, it's actually, that's not even the word. As long as one is addicted to material sinful activities, as long as the mind is covered by material fruitive activities, that one has to take a pritirnavan maivasadeva namochite deha yogena tadvat. That as long as one is desirous of sense gratification and wants to engage in getting something in the material world, fruitive activities, so long as one hasn't developed love for Vasudeva, one has to take one body after another. Therefore, the only solution to our problem of lack of love and happiness and clarity and whatever else is devotional service to Krishna. Because if we perform devotional service to Krishna sincerely, then gradually Krishna will give us intelligence how to do it even better, how to understand everything better, how to serve Krishna better, how to serve his devotees better. And that way, gradually we'll become eligible to get Krishna's mercy. Krishna will be merciful to us and gradually reveal himself so that we can actually experience his presence, and therefore all our material desires will go away, just like Yatade Damso Samrito Ganira Basmat Sakru Terjana Ganagni Sarvakarmani Basmat Sakru Terjana. Just like blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so the blazing fire of spiritual knowledge burns to ashes all the reactions to all our fruitive activities. So that knowledge, Gyanam Gayam Gyanam Gamyam Riddhi Sarvasti Vishtitam, that Krishna says, I am knowledge, I am the goal of knowledge, I am situated in everyone's heart. That Krishna is knowledge, and only when we become aware of Krishna can we know things as they actually are. There's real knowledge is not apart from being aware of Krishna. As soon as we forget Krishna, everything gets cloudy by the mercy or by the arrangement of the material nature, and everything we see is wrong. Of course, we can try to see through the eyes of Scripture to correct our mistaken vision so that we're not trying to see just through these present conditioned eyes, but we're seeing through the eyes of Scripture. Then when we see through the eyes of Scripture, then we have some idea what to do, what to act in order to get Krishna's mercy so he can reveal himself to us so that our vision becomes purified gradually and things become clearer and clearer until we actually become conscious of Krishna. Or as Krishna says, Sarabhutastamatmanam Sarabhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshana Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashati Tasyam Na Pranashami Na Chame Na Pranashati. The true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
In what way Krishna enters in our consciousness?
Through remembrance. Just like Maya enters into our consciousness through remembrance also. You see a picture, reminds you of some activity you're not supposed to do, and that's what you're thinking about. And you get the feeling. You think about it, and when our minds dwell on it, then we feel it. And then we want to do something about it. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So similarly, if we hear about Krishna, and we serve Krishna steadily and with enthusiasm, then Krishna, gradually we think about Krishna. Krishna gives us the intelligence to think about him. And then when we think about him, we can feel his presence. And when we feel his presence, then we can actually become more and more enthusiastic and more determined to serve him. Because we feel love and happiness in Krishna's presence, so we will become encouraged to serve him more. So it's all with our mind, directed by our intelligence. Our intelligence is supposed to direct us to doing the things that will help us become Krishna conscious. And when Krishna sees we're determined to become Krishna conscious, then to please Him, then He reveals Himself, and then our mind thinks, then Krishna reveals Himself in our mind, and we naturally think about Him. That's called remembrance. It appears that we're remembering, but actually it's Krishna revealing Himself to us. Just as there's no difference between Krishna and His name, so there's no difference between remembering Krishna and Krishna Himself. Is that right?
Thank you.
Anything else? And everyone can remember Krishna with devotion. There's no price. It's not that I'm too old to remember Krishna, or I'm too young to remember Krishna, or I'm a girl, I can't remember Krishna. No, everyone can remember Krishna. Krishna is, and the same soul is there in everyone's heart. Someone gets equally benefit. Anyone who remembers Krishna gets the same benefit. So therefore, anyone who serves Krishna in any circumstance sincerely, and Krishna becomes pleased and enters into our remembrance, then they get equally benefit. Everyone gets equally the benefit. Yes?
Hare Krishna. So question is, how to deal with sinful reactions we may be absorbed by preaching, by dealing with non-devotees and...
That is sinful reaction. I don't think we have to worry so much about that. We're not... If you eat their food, then you may have to worry about it. If you live with them, you might have to start worrying about it. You may get their habits. Other than that, we don't really absorb so much sinful reactions. Mother God, we're not bathing in their water usually. The only way we get by not being Krishna conscious, if you're going out and most of the time we get involved with non-devotees by when our preaching. But if we're preaching to serve Krishna, then instead of getting their sinful reactions, they get the association of a devotee. We get association of a devotee too if we're serving a devotee. And we become purified and they become purified too. We're not delivering anyone. We're simply being willing to act as an instrument. And then Krishna acts through us and delivers us and them also. And if we're not acting in Krishna consciousness, then we're getting Maya's association. Both the person that we're associating with, and they're getting our Maya too. It's not that we're a pure devotee and we're approaching these non-devotees and we're getting their reaction. They're also getting our sinful reactions. And if we're Krishna conscious, then we get Krishna's, when we get the association of pure devotee, Prabhupada, and we're giving that to others too. Anything else? Kuala, Grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.